Sports Talk New York with your hosts Mark Rosenman and AJ Carter. Sports Talk New York is sponsored in part by Prince Associates, Send in the Clowns, the Phoenix Tube Company, CelebrityTrips.com, the law firm of Decalator Cohen and DePrisco, Solomon Jewelers, and Relish Restaurant of Kings Park. Here are your hosts, Mark and AJ.
Joining us now is a man who helped lead the Phillies to the World Series in 1993, won championships in 2001 with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and 2004-2007 with the Boston Red Sox. He retired with a career postseason record of 11-2. His .846 postseason winning percentage is a major league record among pitchers with at least 10 decisions. He is a member of the 3,000 Strikeout Club, has the highest strikeout-to-walk ratio of any of its members. He is tied for third for the most 300 strikeout seasons. Of the post-19th century pitchers, he is the second highest JAWS, which is a sabermetric baseball statistic developed to evaluate the strength of a pitcher's career and merit for induction to the Hall of Fame, of any pitcher not in the Hall of Fame, behind only Roger Clemens. Exactly 10 days from now, we'll see if that changes and see if he will be part of the class of 2007. It is a pleasure to welcome back to Sports Talk New York, Kurt Schilling. How you doing, Kurt? Happy New Year.
What's up, guys? And let me save you the suspense. I'm not going to be one of the guys whose names gets called in a couple days.
You know what? I'm going to tell you one thing, and that's where we'll go. We'll end the politics there. There was a guy that you were supporting that lots of people thought there was no way, come that Wednesday morning, he was going to be the president, and he is. So let's wait till Wednesday to see where you fall in the Hall of Fame, all right?
Well, you know what? Honest to God, the unfortunate part's going to be is that I think that the votes that I'm going to lose are going to be a story when the story should be the guys that are going to get in, like Jeff Bagwell. That's going to suck.
That is interesting. You know, right before New Year, you had a great blog piece on your 38 Pitches site in response to some articles written about why certain writers are not going to vote for you this year for the Hall of Fame. Before we get into that, let's start with the way Hall of Fame voting works. AJ and I were just talking about current selection processes. Players are currently inducted in the Hall of Fame through election by either the Baseball Writers Association of America or the Veterans Committee, which now consists of four subcommittees, each of which considers votes for candidates from separate era of baseball. If tomorrow morning you got a call from Hall of Fame President Jeff Edelson asking if you had any ideas about how you would change the election process, what would it be?
I don't know. I don't think I would. I don't think there's a better way. I'd love to tell you. I always thought as a player that, you know, players would be the ones that would be better entailed to do all-star voting or managers or something like that. But I think that there's bias. Like, I played with guys who, to me, were locks and have never, like, Dale Murphy should have, in my mind, was a bona fide, legitimate Hall of Famer. That there was the big Tim Raines should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. And he's still having the battle to get in. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm not sure that there's unless you go to an automated format or a numbers-based, like, you know, hey, 300 wins, you're automatically in. Or 3,000 strikeouts and you're automatically in, or I don't know. Unless you do that, you're going to have personal bias. You're going to have human error or human judgment, which is inherently biased. And so as a player, you have to kind of accept that. So
here's the question in terms of going to some numerical standard. 300 wins, you're in. 500 home runs, you're in. How do you compare? And this gets a lot of discussion we're having today.
Yep.
How do you compare eras? You know, what statistics, why or not? People are saying there will never be another 300-game winner again. Just the game has changed. The way pitching has changed. You know, so if you say you need 300 wins to get in, no other pitcher will ever get in.
Right.
Home runs.
The bullpens
gone back and forth, you know, from being saying what is an amount of home runs, which gets into the whole
How do you judge that?
How do you downgrade and accept that? How do you change the fact that they lowered the mound?
You know,
and change pitching.
Oh, I'm with you.
And then also, you know, you talk about numbers, and numbers don't always tell the story about a pitcher.
And
look at you, okay? You're not at that 300 magic number, but look at what you did in postseason. That has to count for something.
Right. I think you're also, to me anyway, I probably would have disagreed as a player until I started to get into sabermetrics to the depth that I have. I think wins is a very hard number to use, although I got paid to win. So, you know, I certainly can't look at someone who says winning X amount of games is criteria, because but But at the same time, I recognize that if I had played for a better team in the 90s, maybe I win more games. And then the argument cut to the other side is, well, Greg Maddux won 300-some games, and he was with the Cubs for a while, too. So, yeah, I don't know. It's hard, especially from the player side, because a lot of times the value or the statistics that we place value on as players, people don't.
So let me ask a question in terms of what should be as standards. We've talked a lot about this in terms of off-the-field things, not just what you talked about, things
right.
on your blog you said you've never done. And,
well,
you know,
before he answers that,
yeah.
you know, and I did mention that blog piece,
yeah.
you felt compelled to mention a number of things you've
right.
never done. For people out there that did not read it, just quickly, he lists about 19 things he didn't do. Some of them were say anything remotely racist to anyone ever, bully a teammate, go after a fan, steal money, steal anything, spit on an umpire, do steroids ever. What you did not mention in that post, which I found very interesting, is that you are a Branch Rickey Award winner, which is an award given to each major league award that is given after each major league baseball team nominates one individual who best exemplifies the Rotary's club motto, service above self, and that is voted by the sports media. You also won the Roberto Clemente Award, which you did mention in the piece, which best exemplifies the game of baseball, sportsmanship, community involvement, and individuals' contribution to teams, as voted by baseball fans and members of the media. So, AJ, continue
okay.
with your question.
Well, so the question is, how does this all factor in? How does it factor in, should it go, what you did on the field or did during your career versus things that may have happened afterward? Now, how do you then separate? This is the whole argument that you're making, and I see your point, that to some extent, and we'll look at the ESPN piece that says, you know, did Curt Schilling tweet his way out of Cooperstown?
Yeah.
And that had to do with things afterward. So how
yep.
do you deal with that and writers and saying, okay, step back, you should be judged just on what happened, you know, when you were there, how you played it, how you lived your life when you were playing?
Well, listen, I've tried to explain to people in the past, and I'm not sure how to make this. When people have asked me in the past, and they've kind of second-guessed me on my answer, and I've said, listen, outside of the conversation around the vote, this is not something I ever think about, ever. And you just told me, you just gave the reasons why. You're asking the wrong person. I don't vote. So, you know, I've ran into people, and I've used his name a couple different times. And don't let me forget that point, because I have ADHD and I probably will. But let me go back to the blog post you mentioned. I'm horrifically uncomfortable and almost sad that I don't want to ever have to mention the things that I've won from a community service award, because not one of those things have I ever done, did I ever do, or will I ever do to be able to tell people I did them.
Yeah,
I did them because my father raised me right. I did them because God put me in a position to have to make a difference in other people's lives. Those are the reasons I did those things. And I don't want to have to say, yeah, but look how good of a guy I am, because I hate that. I think it's hypocritical. It's awkward. It makes me uncomfortable. And that's not why I did those things. And I mentioned in the blog why the Roberto Clemente Award was such a big deal to me.
Right,
it was because of my father.
Right.
And that will never change. And I don't like to use those things. That makes me uncomfortable. I think a lot of those things that I've done, I did because I think, and I would hope that most people would do them, because it's the right thing to do, not because it makes me look like something I'm not, or because it makes people think of me in a way, you know, that they don't otherwise think of me. But that list of things that I said I didn't do, I don't look at any of those things that I didn't do as things that you should be proud of that I
right.
didn't do. Those are things no one should do.
Right. And some of those things people have done are in the Hall
but
of Fame.
All of those things people have done. I promise you they
yeah.
have. And so about 20 years ago, I don't even know the time, I was in Philadelphia playing, and Bill Conlon came in one day, and it was literally, God, I can't remember when it was, but I want to say it had to be during the baseball season, and the conversation was around the Hall of Fame vote, and he told me, he bragged, that he didn't vote for Nolan Ryan. And the reason he didn't vote for Nolan Ryan, because in his opinion, if Don Sutton did get in on the first ballot, Nolan Ryan didn't deserve to get in the first ballot. And I went ballistic, because my response to him was, listen, the Hall of Fame ballot is not a platform for you. You don't get a vote to write an article. You know, that's not what it's for. The Hall of Fame vote should be something incredibly sacred to the people that partake in it. It's not to many, not to all. But to many of those guys, it's not a sacred thing. It's just kind of a cool perk. And they allow their personal feelings, they allow their personal bias to be a part of what they do and how they do it. And you know what? That's their prerogative. But that was the day I realized I will never in my life lose sleep over it. Because if that's the case, I knew at that point, listen, I'm going to piss off a lot of riders before I'm done playing. Because I don't play the game. I don't play that little game that they play. And I never did. Now, you can say that's good, that's right, that's wrong, whatever it is. But I sleep well at night. I sleep well at night because I know who I am. I know what I stand for. I know what I believe in. And I don't think people that know me question those things about me. So, you know, I can look at my kids. Listen, at the end of the day, Roger Clemens and Barry will probably get in. I never ruined someone else's life to keep my legacy. I never had to. And so I can look at my young boys and my sons and talk about what I did with integrity and with pride and with honor.
So
I'm good with that.
So let me phrase it a different way. Now, here's the thing for me, Kurt, you know, and you and I have had this conversation many times, one the air when Jimmy Larios was here, and you and I have had an open discussion and a respectful discussion on politics. And mm-hmm. while I might not agree 100%, 90%, 80% with some of your political views, mm-hmm. you have always had a respectful dialogue with dissenting opinions. And yep. as long as, and I say that with any of my friends, if every single person I met in my life had the same exact political views and sport team views and every view in the world, it'd be very boring. Yeah. But as long as someone respects my opinion and doesn't call me an idiot because I think of this way, but we'll have an open dialogue, that's fine. And you are that. I mean, people don't see, for some reason, there's something out there that Kirk Schilling is almost, I don't even want to say it, but I'm not
part of the lunatic fringe.
They call me, it's how I know the narrative has gotten so far away from the truth.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that,
and away from your control. When people can call you a racist and you don't have a racist bone in your body, when people can call you
a homophobe,
not to remember Billy, which it makes me laugh if it weren't so uncomfortable.
Where does this come from?
I was on the board of directors of the World War II Museum, and a lot of my collection is on display down there. Like, I'm very proud of that. Islamophobic. I posted a meme comparing Islamic extremists, terrorists, to Nazis. On what planet is that not a valid comparison? And so the narrative got spun in ways and in directions that I can't even fathom. For reasons, I guess I'm not real sure why. But it is. But when my boys look at me, when my kids look at me, and they say, "Dad, how can someone say like that about you?" Like, they know who I am, and so it's been an amazingly important teaching moment for me as well.
So Mark and
to my kids, to make. And my dad told me, and I've said this over again, time and time again. My dad told me, when you turn 18 and you leave my house, the word fair stops being an everyday part of your life. That's not to be cynical or be mad or any of the things that go with that. But that's just the way the world works. You're not going to go out into a world that looks to treat you fairly. And that's not, again, that's not, I'm a glass half full guy. So that's a challenge. But that's how I've always been. Let me give you an example. Dan Bickley is a writer that works in Arizona. And he wrote an article today. He says things to, and this has happened a lot. He was talking about Kurt Warner, the quarterback, and me. And he was talking about Kurt Warner, and he gets to me, and he says, Schilling is another story. He was not known as a great teammate. Okay, what does that mean? Who has ever said, besides Mitch Williams, who, you know, I think was the worst player a human being ever played with, but that's, who has ever said I wasn't a good teammate? He coveted attention and manipulated the media. Well, again, what does that mean? How do you covet attention when you guys come to my locker after the game? I don't seek you out.
So, Mark and I were talking this before we came on the air, having discussion in terms of this. If it were Ty Cobb played and were on the ballot in 2017 in a Twitter world.
and would Ty Cobb have Twitter, right?
Would Ty Cobb in a Twitter world be in the Hall of Fame?
Probably, because didn't Ty Cobb have like a American Indian heritage in his background?
That's a good one.
You know, I mean, we've got a world now that is so afraid to talk disparagingly about anybody but white male Christians. I mean, it's weird. It's so awkward. But again, the reasons. My big challenge right now is I don't want this to appear like I'm fighting people not voting for me. I don't have. Everybody has the right to cast the vote the way they want to vote. And if I don't get into the Hall of Fame because the writers don't believe I deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, then so be it. I still have my rings. I still have my trophies. And I'll always have my memories. So they can't take away the things that matter to me. And I always said, it's funny because, and it's actually kind of cool. In 1992, I'll never forget this. My wife and I, it was after I just had my first good year in the big leagues, and we were talking about what we wanted from the career, how we wanted it to work out. I said, you know, the one award I wanted to win was the Roberto Clemente Award. And it was because of a lot of things about my father and the man that Clemente was, and that was my father's favorite player and all the things that went around that. And ultimately, it was an award you couldn't pitch yourself to win. It was an award, I think, that really told people more about my father and my family and my upbringing. And the other thing was, I said, when I retire, I want to be a player who, when I walk away from the game, the guys that I suited up with would say, hey, listen, when life or death, if I had to win a game, that's the guy I wanted to have the ball. And I feel comfortable. I won the one, and I'm very proud of it. And the other one, I feel comfortable. I was pretty good when it mattered most.
So here's a $64,000 question. If you were a reporter and you had the ballot, do you put a check mark next to Curt Schilling for the Hall of Fame?
No.
No? Why?
I wouldn't have voted for me in the first place. I'll do my little game with you, okay?
Okay.
Ken Griffey Jr., Hall of Famer?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Ricky
yes.
Henderson, Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Yes.
Nolan Ryan, Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Yes.
Randy Johnson?
Yes.
Yes.
Mike Mussina?
No.
Boom. The second you have to pregnant pause, it's a no.
It's a no.
My Hall of Fame is definitive. I think the Hall of Fame should be one ballot. Why should a guy
right.
become
I
more
totally
of a Hall of Famer over
right.
the years?
You do not change. What you leave the game with is what you left the game with, and it doesn't change from year one to five. And
right.
that, you know, that's right.
If you do it
the vote totals change.
If you do it then.
Yeah, you don't get any more wins after you retire.
Right. I haven't struck anybody out or won a game in 8 years.
Right.
Yeah. And my
but the narrative changes.
Based on how strong the ballot is 1 year or this year because of things that I've tweeted or said or people think that I've done.
Yeah.
That's not a Hall of Fame. That's a Hall of Personality.
Okay.
Because if you're going to invoke the character clause in the Hall of Fame, Dale Murphy should have been a first ballot unanimous Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the greatest guys of the
game. He should have been anyway. But from a character perspective, he's everything you pray the game represents. Scott Rolen should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. If character is going to be, but it's subjective. They get to pick and choose when they apply it. And again, I'm not. It's their prerogative to do that.
All right, Kurt, we only have like 3 minutes here, and I want to ask you a question, which I don't know if you can answer in 3 minutes. And AJ and I were talking
about. I can't answer anything in 3 minutes.
So the thing is, the player, you know, reporter. Team relationship has changed drastically over the years. Years ago, the reporters would travel with the team and they were protective of the team. And when I go into the Rangers locker room or the Mets locker room, I view that as a privilege. You know, I know that, you know, in some respect that I am a arm of the public relations aspect of the team. And I never, if I would never say anything bad about a player because I just don't feel, you know, listen. Anyone that plays the game, and when I see guys on Twitter, and I hate Twitter, when I see idiots, you know, say, oh, this guy sucks, you know, this guy should be scratched. You know what? A healthy scratch in the NHL is still one of the most elite hockey players in the world. And for someone to say suck, to me, I discount that immediately. What do you think the role of the press should be in baseball and other sports?
Well, here's the thing. I think two things. Number one, when I hear kids say, oh, he sucks or this guy sucks, I still, in my mind, think the worst guy on the worst team I ever played for is a billion times better at baseball than you will ever be at anything in your life.
Absolutely.
And you can't understand it. But I think it all ended when media in the Shaughnessys of the world started trying to be the news instead of report the news.
And grow the game. I think that's what the media is.
Here's the thing. Like, Jason Stark, is there any doubt that Jason Stark loves baseball?
No, he loves absolutely loves baseball.
Tim Kurkjian, do you doubt for a second that baseball is his passion?
No.
Oh, yeah, no.
No, they're fans of the game, and they're not ashamed of that.
Yeah.
And when you get people that try to make you think, oh, you know, I don't care who these people are. And Chauncey is a great example. Dan has made himself as much the news as he has been. He doesn't really report it anymore. And that, again, his prerogative, his employer likes it or whatever. That's cool. I get it. But they can't pitch as they can't pitch themselves as being subjective anymore because they're not.
Totally agree. More importantly, how'd your son do in the hockey game tonight?
He actually had three games today. He had a phenomenal
tournament
early day, and I think he was a little tired at the end of the day. But he had a. They played a team that they got beat 10-0 by a couple months ago, and they lost 4-3 to an empty net goal, or to a 5-3 with an empty netter at the end. So I was really proud of him. He had a great day. Most importantly, the effort was there, and he played the game right, so I'm good.
All right, and everyone's feeling well?
Everybody's feeling good. You guys?
Good.
Yep. Yeah, we're great.
Absolutely good. You know, aside from the Giants, but we'll talk about that a little later. Kurt?
Well, no, it's a great day because the Steelers, the greatest franchise in football history, won their
decidedly
record number of playoffs. They set the new record for NFL wins, so it's a great day.
Awesome. Yeah. Kurt, thanks so much. Hopefully, we'll speak to you in about...
You guys have a great one, all right?
You got it, Kurt. Kurt Schilling.
Happy New Year.
Three-time World Series champ, six-time All-Star, maybe 2017 class of Hall of Fame.